Okay. I guess my first question I have for you is, what got you into cultural anthropology to begin with?
I was curious of other cultures. Study anthropology as an undergraduate. I took sociology. In fact, there was no anthropology when I was there. And I moved to LA and I knew nothing about the Aztecs or the Mayans. I was never taught in high school or anywhere. And I just started taking night classes just for the fun of it. And I became really infatuated. And therefore, I then started looking at anthropology as a, it provided a framework for understanding cultural differences. And that's what I pursued. And
Interesting.
I haven't stopped pursuing either. Just, I think if you're intellectually curious, you want to understand lots of different civilizations, both old and new.
Well, in my case, I'm actually a human rights major, so I'm trying my best. So I'm actually in that similar mindset where I'm trying to understand people in a sense, and how culture impacts people.
You know, it's interesting when I had like some a mini little Fulbright for teachers, and I went to India. And I wanted, and we got there, and I wanted to go to the library and read about India because that's how you're supposed to understand it. But actually going out and meeting people, I didn't have the conceptual skill set to do that. And anthropology provides you with that skill set.
Now I'm curious, why did you want to study the topic of romantic kissing in particular?
Oh, that was really an accident. In academia, you have to always be publishing something. And I had a colleague, and he really is the godfather, Justin Garcia, who's the director of the Kinsey Institute now. He's an anthropologist. And I had met him when he was a graduate student. And he asked me, you know, would I like to, because he's looking for a publication too, would like to write this article together on cross-cultural research. And he's never done that. And I've done a couple things. And so the argument was, is that according to evolutionary psychology, kissing is an evolved trait where we test each other's DNA through kissing. So it's another way of finding a suitable genetic mate. That was the thesis, but no one's ever documented that. So the idea was, is I would go through and look at all the different level societies and say, look, kissing is a human universal. And look, it confirms and it's consistent with evolutionary psychology. So it's just going to be a kind of like a little case study with no major significance. But in looking for that, I discovered that it wasn't a universal. And now what you do with this is you have to go to the hunters and gatherers. There's not that many, but I know a lot of them because I do a lot of studies on human universals, which is really what always attracted me to anthropology as well. What is it that makes us human beings? Are we all just culturally constructed, or is there underlying commonalities? Big question. And the only way you can answer that is looking at different societies because you just can't study your own, obviously. So, anyways, I called up all my colleagues, and they said, and some lived in like the Pygmies, lived there for 35 years, and they said they never saw kissing. And then I started calling others and or emailing. And then I said, oh my goodness. Then I started looking at the data set and we just didn't see it. People would write about parents kissing a baby, which seems to be a human universal, you know, kissing an arm, top of the head, a leg or whatever. But actually people kissing on the lips was not.
You know, I think what particularly struck me as interesting was how this whole endeavor was a mere accident, honestly.
Yeah, no, it was. It was a throwaway. You don't know this, but in 1992, it got played up in the New York Times. It was a bombshell. But I was the one who wrote on romantic love being a human universal. And everybody disagreed with that. And but they couldn't believe it when I came up with all the data that showed that it was there. And then this one is one of I don't know if it's cited, but the most downloaded topic on across cultural research. And again, people can't believe it's not a universal. So you get the paradox. 20 years ago, I came up with something and people couldn't believe it was a universal. They said, that's incredible. Is that true? And then I did the kissing and people couldn't believe that was not a universal. So very, very, very funny in terms of the paradox.
And on that note, I'm actually jumping a bit ahead on some of these questions I had, but I wanted to ask you another question. Because kissing is such a Western, according to the study, they mentioned that kissing was particularly a Western and Middle Eastern type of cultural norm.
Yeah.
Do you think this hyperfixation of Westernized societies in media like film, television, and whatnot have led other cultures to feel invalidated by their norms? Or do you think they still hold their norms very tightly and just don't talk about it?
That's an interesting, I'm looking for words here. I think it's a bit of both. You always see the intellectual elite, and particularly the artistic elite, in every culture experimenting. They're always pushing the boundaries. They're always doing, if you will, a hybridization. That is a cross-cultural synthesization. If this looks cool, if that looks that. You know, just in art, Picasso's Cubanism, he was also inspired by African art. So they're always, and also Impressionism was influenced by Japanese art and perspective. Van Gogh and Gauguin had Japanese prints all over, and they were really looking at how they approached the construction of an art element. So the same thing is working on in terms of other cultural habits, whether it's dancing. In China, it was very popular in the 1930s in Shanghai to do the waltz, and because that was popular in Europe and America. So people imitated that. You don't see public kissing in China or Japan to anywhere near the extent you see it in the United States. And I think that's kind of like a continuation of being more modest.
Modesty. I never thought of it that way to describe it. Well then, you think this modesty is why there aren't many other studies like this in particular? Because as we saw in the research, from my group, we noticed that in the first method you used for the research, you interviewed about 28 anthropologists that responded back.
Yeah.
14 of them didn't have any knowledge of the matter whatsoever. So do you think it's part of it is due to general genuine modesty of the topic?
No. Because in the Pygmies, the Hewletts studied sexuality, and they would talk about positions and how they get it, and they were not phased at all. But then when they talked about kissing, they just said, huh? Another person did the study of the Mayinakua Amazonian tribe, and they talked about how when they had sex, they'd bite each other's eyebrows, but they didn't do kissing. So yeah. I don't think, if they're going to be that blunt on sexuality, which around the world, human beings are incredibly discreet on sexuality, and then all of a sudden not talk about kissing seems to just blow your mind away. It can't be true. Okay, maybe when they say we just don't do it, they just don't do it.
I wonder if these people find it unsanitary, or if it's just they're afraid of diseases, or what seems to be
there's an interesting, there was an 1890 a publication by this guy Junod, J-U-N-O-D, and he was a Jesuit priest, but kind of like a little ethnographer. In his book, he talks about the Tonga, that's T-H-O-N-G-A. And they see two Europeans kissing in the harbor, because it's a trading city. And they go, oh, look, they're eating each other's saliva. Ugh. So yes. So yeah, I think you could be looking at it that way. Also too, and this is missed, you have to understand, among hunters and gatherers, the only place that we see them kissing is in the Arctic zone, either the Chukchi Indians on the Siberian side or the Inuit Eskimos. But all throughout subtropical and tropical regions, again, we're talking about tribal societies, not contemporary societies, we don't find any evidence. And here comes the point. Humans are a tactile creature. We like to touch. It's sensuous to touch. We groom one another. Okay? But in a tropical area, the whole body is available. The face is just one of many. But in the Arctic zone, you're covered with fur. The only skin available is the face.
I never thought of that, actually. I didn't think that to consider that human, you know, now that you mentioned it, I do notice that in more contemporary societies, covering up your body is a lot more common than, say, in the tropicals, as you just mentioned. I never considered that.
Yeah. Ever get a chance, watch Shagdon's Yamamama movies. You can get them all on YouTube. Gives you a good sense of, and it's really contemporary even for today, of how the Yamamama actually live.
Actually, maybe. If you don't mind, how do you spell that?
Y-A-N-O-M-A-M-O.
Y-A-N.
O, then ma, mama, M-A, mo, mm-hmm. M-O.
Yanomau?
Yanomamo. That's the name. It means we're the people.
I see.
But watch the YouTube and you get a good insight of what Amazon Indians look like and how they dress. Yep. Just take your 5 minutes.
Okay. Well, that sounds like a fascinating watch. Well, let's see. I guess now I want to ask if there's, as a post-mortem, was there anything differently you think you could have done with your research and the findings?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we could have highlighted the skin thing. That was not highlighted at all. What we really talked about was the kissing arises with the cultural elite first and then diffuses into society.
By highlighting the skin part, you mean highlighting the exposure of skin in particular?
Yes, the sensuality and the fact that kissing among hunters and gatherers was ubiquitous in the Arctic zone and non-existent in the tropic zone. We didn't look at an ecological distinction between the two. And I think that was probably a limitation.
Do you think that is enough to disprove the whole study, or?
Oh no, it supports the study completely. Because our argument was it's not a human universal, and it isn't. We didn't say no one kissed. We just said not all cultures kiss.
Yeah, I guess. I'm just wondering if, I was just curious if the lack of that bit of information would have harmed the credibility of the research itself.
No. When you're looking at a data set, your job is to highlight patterns. And that's the pattern we did not highlight. And it would have added a richness to the ethnography. Okay. Now, my hypothesis, we're sensual people and that's why they did it. That's a hypothesis. Just because the Arctics did that, maybe they did it for a different reason. We just don't know. But all you could say, it's consistent with that suggestion. But was that the real reason? You just don't know.
I see. I guess in a way, I'm trying to look at the questions now. Forgive me if I may take a little bit. So I'm guessing in a sense you do, outside of that one tidbit of information you forgot to consider, you feel proud of this whole experiment.
Yeah. And what really surprised me is how it caught a popular audience. It appealed to them. That was intriguing. Very little as anthropologists ever discovered appeals to lots of people, but this one seemed to caught people's imagination. Which again, I guess, goes, we all have assumptions of what's natural and it's cultural. And obviously this shocked a lot of people, or surprised people. I wouldn't say shocked, surprised people.
Can you elaborate on which demographics in particular shocked people? Were shocked?
Oh, the fact that it wasn't a universal. People couldn't believe that. They just thought this had to be. Obviously, you know, if you like kissing, you can't believe other people don't like it too.
Well, admittedly, as someone who's highly Americanized, I can admit I was a bit surprised when I found this study myself.
You're not alone. You know, we even got an email from somebody from Serbia saying Serbians kiss. And we had to email them back and says, we're not talking about modern day Serbia. We're talking about this tribal group who occupied Serbian geography.
Oh,
We're talking back to the 18th century, not the 21st.
I didn't notice that Serbia seemed particularly shocked about the findings.
Yeah, well, they thought we were saying they didn't kiss today. So. And that's a really good point, because we were not talking about contemporary society. Right. A lot of people, when they go to the movies, like in Africa or whatever, I had a colleague who works with the Somali nomadic group, and a lot of them run away to the cities and they go watch movies and they see kissing and then they copy it. That being said, it is remarkable that kissing is indeed sensual activity. But it really gets into the question of eroticism. You see, why is it that the elite get kissing first? The reason is because they're also in doing with sensuality, which is pleasurable. Remember, pleasurable is just not an immediate satisfaction, okay? You want to delay it. The slow eating of a long meal, the slow dancing, the watching, taking your time. So out of that, you know, sexual intercourse can be completed in 3 minutes. Okay? No one would call that sensual, okay? It relieves tension, particularly for the male, okay? But when you're trying to delay it and move it and do foreplay and move all the other, you need a different mindset about what you want to do. And I think in that milieu, kissing is discovered.
So it's a matter of short-term gratification versus long-term gratification.
Yeah, or gradual gratification versus immediate gratification.
Huh. Never thought of it that way, actually. Well, I'll definitely have to think on that for a bit. I guess in a way, I think you pretty much answered a lot of the questions we had.
I think you have it. What I will do too, when we get off, I'll forward you a 10-minute BBC interview film that they did on kissing. And you can see what they did. And they interviewed someone else who did the research, another, not on this project, but a different, wrote a book on kissing.
That'll be great.
And then you can look at it. It's kind of fun and it's interesting. And it's only 10 minutes, which makes it terrific.
Well, regardless of such, I'm really glad you were willing to go out of your way to let me hear your 2 cents on the matter, because, well, I just like to hear a direct perspective on certain things, because I just like things to be transparent, you know?
Sure. No, good. No, it's good to do. I would encourage you to keep thinking and querying on this. You'll have an expanded mind. So that's always really good. That can't be taught.
Another thing, reason I wanted to do this was just because I thought this would be a fun networking exercise on myself, because I am a freshman in college. I'm trying to get used to the idea of contacting different people for different purposes. So I figured it'd be a fun exercise to try and expand my reach.
Oh yeah, no, it's good for you. Keep going and keep learning. I encourage you. So I'm helping you on this. A lot of profs wouldn't have responded to this, but I always think it's cool when undergraduates take an initiative. And so I'm supporting your life study plan, so to speak.
Well, I'm really grateful you're as supportive as you are, coming from someone who does work at University of Nevada.
Among many things. By the way, you know, my primary research is China, and particularly Inner Mongolia, where I did my graduate research. I have a couple of books on Chinese society. This is a side object on the kissing and the love and the cross-cultural stuff. But anyway, okay, let me send you the thing on the BBC.
Okay.
And it's been good talking to you.
Yeah, all right. Same here.
Right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you.